How many came expecting a blessing? How many came expecting to hear something from God? Amen? Because if you don't come expecting, you ain't going to get nothing. All right? Because ladies that are pregnant, they're expecting something to happen, right? So we're pregnant with promise. Amen? So we have to expect something to happen. Let us turn our Bibles to John 15. Amen? John 15. And this is Jesus speaking about the unity between Christ and his church under the parable of the vine. Josh was speaking last week about a parable in Matthew 13, okay? And a parable is just a similitude. Jesus was the master of taking something that was common to you to give you a spiritual understanding of the kingdom. Amen? Because we have to understand that the kingdom of God is the reign and rule of God over our life. Amen? When Jesus said that the kingdom has come, that means that the reign and rule of God has come. That's why the eyes of the blind were open, the lame could walk. Why? Because the kingdom of God has showed up. And you have to understand as believers that we are part of the kingdom. Amen? We are part of a kingdom that reigns and rules in this earth. And because that I am part of it, that I can reign and rule also. Amen? So, you know, Jesus always speaking in parables, and there was a reason why that Jesus spoke in parables. Because he said here in Matthew 13, the reason why, Matthew, you ain't gonna turn here, Matthew 13, 14, he said to them, he says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I may heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and do not see it, and hear what you hear and do not hear it. Do you understand that the church, what Jesus is saying, the implications, what we could see and what we can hear? That there were many wise men and prophets that wanted to hear what we hear and see what we see, but they couldn't. Why? Because of the dullness that was in their hearts. Amen? And as being a people in this, you know, in 2016, that we're at such a privilege, you know, because so many people talk about all the things that are going on. We worry about so much foolishness about the government doing this and this one doing that. Do you realize they've been trying to stop the Church of Jesus Christ for 2016 years and they can't stop it? They've been trying to shut it down for 2,000 years and they can't do it. And that's what you are a part of. And you have to understand that they can't shut you down. They might stop you from praying in the schoolhouse, but they can't stop you from praying in your house. Amen? We can't worry about what the world is trying to do. We got to worry about what God has commissioned us to do. He told us to go ye therefore into this world making disciples. Listen, Jesus never said go make Christians. Okay? Jesus said, go make disciples, discipline learners. I did this revival last week, and I was telling the church that the reason why things are the way they are, because it's not about you coming down the aisle saying the prayer for the forgiveness of sins, and that's it. See, a disciple is a disciplined learner. Jesus said, follow me. All right? It was in the book of Acts, Acts 11:26, where the disciples was first called. I mean, the disciples was first called Christians. All right. It was the world that called them. It wasn't a church thing. It was the world. Paul had been in Antioch teaching for 2 years. And it was the people who said, these disciples are Christians, little Christ. They act like Christ. Why? Because their activities, their behavior, and their speech reminded the world of Jesus Christ. When was the last time your activities, your behavior, and your speech reminded the world around you that you belong to Jesus? See, that's what we have to understand. Jesus said, follow me. And as they followed him And then in the book of John, when he did the miracle at the wedding of Cana, he said he did it that they may believe. So you go from a follower to a believer, then you become a disciple. Does everybody understand that? But Jesus told us to go in the world to make disciples. And in this chapter of John 15, you have to understand who we are connected to, who you are attached to. Because Jesus starts out and he says that I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. See, the things that God is asking us to do, the fruit of the Spirit, found in Galatians 5:22, the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the goodness, and self-control. They're all part of who you are as a Christian. Does everybody understand that? This is a part of who you are. And Jesus is saying, because you belong to me, that these things should be evident in your life. Because the same sap that's in the vine should be in the branches. He said, everybody in me. Look at the second verse. You got John 15, all right? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Your relationship with God should be a relationship of progression, that you do not stay the same way that you came through the doors, all right? Every day of your life, you should be growing and growing and growing. Why? Because of the word of God that has been planted in your heart. That word is going to grow. That word is going to produce fruit in your life. Amen? The only two things that's going to stop the fruit of God from being produced in your life is unforgiveness and sin. That's the only two things that's going to stop the fruit of God from being in your life. Amen? And also, you got to see here that he said that I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. It is the Father that prunes the vine. And you have to understand a lot of times that people don't know the difference between discipline and pruning. God is going to discipline you as a believer because you're operating in sin. All right. But he's also going to prune you that you can produce more fruit. And a lot of people go to church and they don't understand. They're saying, why? I go to church, I pray, I tithe, I'm loving my family, I'm loving my wife, I'm loving my husband, I'm loving my children. What's going on? Why do I feel this discomfort? Why do I feel like things are not satisfying me? Because God is pruning you. God is pruning you. Because Jesus is telling, because you are connected to me, that the Father is going to prune you, that you produce more fruit. But he also says, abide in me and I in you. Abiding is a dwelling place. Amen? And it's a place that you remain. Okay? I was telling the church down there, I said, listen, God does not have one-night stands. Okay? God is not into the one-night stand business. God is into the dwelling business. You read throughout the Psalms, oh God, you have been our dwelling place for all generations. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a covering. You can't be covered unless you abide with God. And that's the problem. A lot of people run from out of your covering and wonder what's going on in your life because you don't step out of your covering. He said, I will say of the Lord that he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Okay? We have to understand that from the perspective of what Jesus was talking to his disciples, because you have to remember, this was after the Last Supper. Jesus was getting ready to go off the scene. So he wanted to instruct his disciples about everything that you went through, everything that you're going to go through is going to be connected to me. You're going to draw your strength from me. You're going to draw your power from me. You're going to draw your peace from me. You're going to draw your joy from me by being connected to me. All right? Verse 5 says that I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me bears much fruit, because without me, you could do nothing. Do you see the progression? Now we're up to much fruit. You went from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. Okay? To much fruit. Because there's a purpose in us. Excuse me. There's a purpose in us producing the fruit. If anyone does not abide in me, in verse 6, he cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they are thrown into the fire, and they are burnt. But listen to verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. It shall be done for you. Why? Because you're dwelling with the Father. You're in the presence of the Father. And I'm so glad that the same spirit that's in this house, because Elaine was talking about that in the presence of God, in the presence of God, there is the fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. See, it's in the presence of God. When we learn to dwell in the secret place, when we learn to dwell with God, when we learn to have our private time with God, yes, it's good that we come to Sunday service because the scripture talks about us not forsaking ourselves and assembling ourselves together. But what happens when you leave here? What happens comes Monday morning when the enemy jumps on you with all 4 feet? All right, what happens? Where's the time? Where's your dwelling time with the Lord that every believer should have? Every believer should have a time with God. Mine is in the morning before I get up and go to work with them heathens, okay? Because I know exactly what's going to happen, all right? And you have to know exactly what's going to happen, all right? We should not be caught off guard because of people's mouths, actions, attitudes, or anything else, because if they ain't saved, then they're going to act just like they are, sinners, okay? The same way we used to act before Christ. Come on. You didn't sneak out of heaven last night, okay? But we have to understand who we are. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 12:48. He said, to whom much is given, from him much will be required. Do you understand what we have been given through the salvation package of Jesus Christ? All that God has given us, that God requires, that's what Jesus is talking to them about. Because of your relationship with me, I require you to have a fruitful life, no matter what's happening in your life. That you learn how to love people even when they're not loving you. That you learn to have joy in the midst of things that are not going so well. I was so blessed last night. I was watching the Olympics, and it had this young girl on, and it was talking to her about, you know, how she missed it the first time or whatever, but she didn't give up because she said, listen, sometimes even the best plans don't work out. She said, but I stayed the course. And now I have the gold, all right? Because we have to understand, even as believers, God has given us the instruction on how it should go. But you got to remember, you have an enemy of your soul who is going to try to interrupt every plan that God has for your life. But what happens? What happens when you made the plans, all right, and the house falls through? What happens when you made the plans and the car falls through? What happens if you made the plans and the marriage falls through? What happens when you made the plans and the jobs fall through and you can take it wherever you want it? How are we going to respond? Am I still going to respond with love in my heart, with joy in my heart, with peace in my heart, with gentleness in my heart, with goodness in my heart, with faithfulness in my heart, and even self-control? That's what Jesus is talking about here, the fruit. The fruit of the kingdom that need to be produced in my life each and every day of my life. And the last one I like is because it's self-control. We are so in this world of trying to control everything else. You know, and the reality of it is, the only person you can control in this world is you. That's the only one. You can't control nobody else. You can try. But how's that working for you? All right? We try to control everything. Try to control your husband. Try to control your wife. Try to control your kids. Try to control everything only for you to be frustrated, tired, exhausted, and worn out. But Jesus said, in me, if you dwell in me. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalms 16 and 8. He said, my eyes are always on the Lord. And with him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken. Why? Because my eyes are on him. My eyes are not on my situation and circumstance. That's what Jesus is talking about. When you dwell with me, the only thing you're going to focus on is me. You're only going to focus on the words that I'm speaking into your ears. You're only going to focus on the things that I'm showing you to do. How to deal with that situation. How to deal with that circumstance. He says that with him at my right hand. That means he's next to you. With him at my right hand, we serve an omnipresent God who promised, I will never leave you or ever forsake you. Ever. But he said, with you, God, at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Let the winds come. Let the storms come. Let comes what may, but I am not going to be shaken. Why? Because I have a dwelling place. I have a secret place. I have a person that I could abide with who says he loves me with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness have I drew you to myself. Do you think God drew you to himself only to make you to go by yourself? He didn't give us an instruction book and say, hey, here it is, see you in heaven. Okay? God has showed us a way through his word. He's given us 66 books on how he thinks about every situation and every circumstance. So many people say, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. And that's because you're not in this. Because anybody that's in this book, you know exactly what the will of God is for your life. Every blood bought believer in the Lord Jesus Christ should be in this book every day of your life. If you want to walk the way that God wants you to walk, you have to be in this word. And I know you say, well, how can I abide with Jesus? Well, 1 John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's how you abide with him. You abide in his word each and every day of your life. There's some of you that travel an hour or so to work. Get the Bible on CD, slam it in there, and you're going to hear the word as you drive each and every day. Even through the distraction, people cutting you off and everything else, guess what? The Holy Spirit's going to get it. The Holy Spirit is going to get it. That's why he said when he comes, he will bring back all things to your remembrance of what I have taught you. Amen? Because we have to understand, under this parable of the vine, Jesus was letting them know that every branch that does not bear fruit in me, he takes away. That word take means to lift. He understood. The disciples understood. They understand vineyards. We don't understand vineyards, all right? And they understand when there's new growth on the vine that sometimes the leaves fall into the mud, dust gets under them. Take means to lift, to clean off, all right? But he says here that you have already been cleaned by what you have taught. Listen to what the Amplified says. You are cleaned and pruned already because of the word which I has given you, the teachings which I have discussed with you. Okay? You should never look at yourself as unclean. Never look at yourself in the eyes of your past. Never look at yourself in the eyes or the opinions of what other people say. You need to look at yourself through the eyes of what the Lord has spoken to you, of who you are in him, and what my blood has done for you, cleansed you from all unrighteousness. And that's the way that you walk. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, his blood cleanses us from all sins. Amen? So this is a walk talking about your character each and every day of your life. John 1:14, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When you hang out with Jesus, the only thing you're going to get is his grace. And you're going to get his truth. That's it. That's it. Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit. He said when he comes, he will lead and guide you into all truth. And he will not speak of his own authority. Okay? That's what we have to understand. In the church, there should be order in the church. Why? Because there's order in the Godhead. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. I only speak when I hear the Father speak. When Jesus spoke of the Spirit, he said he will not speak of his own authority. Only what he hears will he speak to you. Amen? So you have to understand that if the whole Godhead is in order, then my life has to line up under there so that my life will be in order, so that my life will be able to produce fruit, that my life will be able. Listen to verse 8. He says, by this the Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. Disciples bear fruit. Means that you carry. You carry the fruit of the Spirit no matter where you go. No matter where you go. We just don't check out at 10:15, all right, and then everything is gone. This should be carried out in your life, each and every day of your life. When you leave here and you go to the buffet or to the diner, Kings Valley Diner, you should be called King's Fires Diner because everybody goes in. You go to that diner, you're going to meet somebody from King's Fire. But Jesus says, he says, listen, in the Amplified, he says, when you produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. See, the true followers of Jesus are the ones that are producing fruit in their life. And you have to remember, this is the result of who you are connected to. All right? The result is the effect and the outcome of because who I am connected to. When people look at you and they say, why are you so kind? It's because who I'm connected to. All right? Why are you always looking out for others' interests and it seems like you're putting yours behind? Because of who I'm connected to. All right? There's always a time for us to witness to other people if we continue to produce the fruit of the kingdom in our lives. Amen? As I was saying, we always pray prayers. God, give me this. God, give me this. God, I need this. God, I need that. How about Psalms 139? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and my anxieties and see if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. How about let's just start praying prayers like that so that God can search our hearts. He's asking us to come in your heart, the center place of who you really are, not the mask that we put on. How's it going, brother? Praise the Lord. Everything is good. And we broke up, tore up from the floor up and everything else. Not that. Okay? I'm talking about search me, God. Examine me. Look into me, God, into the deepest depth of who I really am. And see what's going on inside of me. And if you see anything that's in me that's not like you, that's anything that's in me that will not produce the fruit there, God, then lead me in the way everlasting. Remember, David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Shepherds lead. You know, cattle you drive. Everybody seen, what is it, Rawhide and all that stuff back in the day? All us older guys, okay? They used to drive the cattle, okay? But Jesus is a shepherd, and shepherds lead the sheep. Amen? And it's through the word of God that you're going to be led. It's through the word of God that God is going to teach you. Psalms 25:4, it says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, and on you I wait all day. And waiting doesn't mean that you're just sitting. God, I need a job, and you're sitting on the couch hoping that it falls through the roof. Okay? Waiting on the Lord means I have to do something too. I have to go out and put in applications. I have to go on HudsonValley.com and see if there's any jobs out there. All right? But I'm trusting in you. I'm waiting on you, Lord. I'm asking you to lead me to the right place. Lead me to the right job. Lead me to the place that I'm supposed to be. Amen? Listen, our intimacy with God is his highest priorities for our lives, and it determines the impact of your life. When Jesus was talking about dwell in me, abide in me, all right, he's talking about intimacy. You just don't get intimate with anybody. Well, you shouldn't. Right? Let me put it that way. All right? Because intimacy produces fruit in your life. Intimacy is where God can say, you need to deal with that attitude. Intimacy is the place where God says, you need to deal with that unforgiving spirit. Why? Because if we're following Jesus, okay, from the cross, after he was beat up, brutalized, nailed to the cross, and everything else, Jesus still said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So if we are true followers of Jesus Christ, yes, people are going to malign you. They're going to say bad things about you. Yes, people are going to hurt you, dog you out, and everything else. And some of you have already been in that place. People are going to break your heart. I thought he loved me. I thought she loved me. And you still ain't forgiving them. All right? Still ain't forgiving them. But you got to let it go. Because that's going to hinder the fruit from being produced in your life. God has a purpose to reproduce his life in and through your life. And in order for that to happen, he must reveal himself to you and bring you into an intimate relationship with himself. That's the only way that you're going to be able to produce fruit, when you allow the Lord to come into your little circle, all right, and allow him to work through you. That's what God wants to do. He wants to work through you. He wants to work in you, but he also wants to work through you. But if you won't allow him to work in you, there is no way that he can work through you. See, nobody likes pain. Okay? I don't like it. I don't do pain good. I always tell the guys I'm working with, don't hurt me. Okay? Whatever you do it, don't hurt me. Okay? Because listen, here's the deal. When we got pain, all right, that we cannot bear, we will get in the car, go to the emergency room, go in there, and allow them to tell us to strip down, put one of them crazy little things that nobody could tie up on you, all right, and allow a man or woman that you don't even know to touch you in places you would never let nobody else touch you. Why? Because you're in pain. Here's the God, the sovereign God of the universe, who created you and loved you and knows everywhere where it hurts, and you won't even let him in. Think about that one. Think about that one. Still carrying the pain of past relationships. Still carrying the pain of abuse, rape, whatever. But you won't let him in. But he wants to come in and heal you. Because OxyContin ain't going to do it. It's going to temporarily fix it. Okay? But then you're going to need another one. Okay? You're going to need another one. Because the pain is going to come back. And it might come back stronger than it was before. But see, when Jesus lays his hands on you, it's over. You might still have the scar, but you ain't going to feel the pain anymore. Amen? You ain't going to feel the pain anymore. But see, that only comes when I'm going to dwell with him, like he was telling his disciples, to abide in me. Because without me, you can't do this. Without me, you cannot keep a constant joy in your life. Without me, you're not going to love people that are unkind to you. Without me, you're not going to have peace in your life unless Jack Daniels, Rob McCarty's, or somebody else shows up. He said, I will keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. See, we magnify our problems and make them bigger than our God. David said, oh, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continuously be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Magnify means to enlarge. All right? So if you're going to magnify God, that means God is going to be bigger than any situation. God's going to be bigger than any circumstance. God's going to be bigger than any hurt, any pain, or anything in my life. But I have to be willing. I have to be willing to connect myself to him. Do you realize a caterpillar, okay, instinctively attaches itself to a branch and has natural predators? Birds or whatever, it attaches itself and it hangs there until it cocoons itself. All right? But it realizes who is covering this. It realizes instinctively who got my back. It realizes instinctively that I have to be covered, that I have to have a dwelling place for the transformation to take place. See, everybody wants a transformation in your life, but nobody wants to get in a place where the transformation can happen. Because it's not just a physical transformation that happens with this caterpillar. It's also a mental transformation. Because what good is it for God to give that caterpillar wings to fly if he still thinks he has to crawl? Because that's us sometimes. God has given us wings to fly, and we still think, because somebody said you ain't never going to be nothing without me. The devil is a liar. You're never going to be nothing without me. You'll never amount to nothing without me. You'll never get to that place. And we still, like the caterpillar, still think I'm crawling through all them hurtful words that have been spoken to me, instead of waking up and understanding that if anybody be in Christ, that I'm a new creation, that all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And I'm going to take these wings that he has given me, and I'm going to fly above every situation and every circumstance that's trying to tell me that I am less than what God created me to be, that I'm less than what Jesus died to give me, that I am less than what God has created me to be. But it only comes from dwelling. Jesus said it only comes from dwelling, because there is a joy and a love that's perfected. As we go on in this teaching that Jesus is teaching in verse 9, he says, as the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. Abide in my love. There it is again. Dwell in my love. Stay in the place of my love. Stay in the place of my love. Don't stay in the place of this world that loves you and leaves you. Don't stay in the place of this world that I'm only going to love you because of what you're connected to. You realize that some people only come into your life because of what you got or who you're connected to. That's it. And see, we just throw this love thing around like it's a frisbee. Oh, I love you. You know. See, but true love is sacrifice. God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. See, as being people of the kingdom, we have to understand what the word of God says. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and another that they won't listen to. Who are you listening to? He says, if you keep my commandments and you will abide in my love. If you keep my commandments. Okay, if you keep the charges, that word commandment means charges. If you're keeping what I'm charging you through what I'm teaching you, amen, you will abide in my love. And he says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be filled. My joy. You have to understand, everything that we get from God, we receive. It all belongs to him. The gold is mine, the silver is mine. All right, cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills, not just the cattle, the hills belong to him too. That's why he said, when Peter said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that's when Jesus said, now I could build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. All right, that's why Isaiah said that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He never said that weapons were not going to be formed against you. He just said that they will not prosper. So we shouldn't get all squirrely when things are coming at us, because he said that no weapon, okay, formed against you. It's coming at you, but it ain't going to prosper. Why? Because I got a hiding place. I got a hiding place. You got to know when to hide. You know what happens when it rains. What do? You find shelter, right? Listen, a chicken got a head this big. He knows to get out of the rain, all right? We have to know when it's time to run for cover. Amen? And ain't nothing to run. Hey, run. Teach your wife or your woman to run. You know, right? Everybody who grew up in the Puss in Boots era, remember? He who fights and runs away lives to fight another day. He had it there. The little cat he knew. Oh, little Puss in Boots, right? That's right. But listen. Verse 12, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is the biggest thing that the church fights over all the time, that we love one another as Jesus has loved us. Yes, we're different. Yes, we talk different. Yes, we eat different foods. We dress different and everything. But guess what? we need to love one another. One of the biggest things that Jesus said about this world, he said, the world will know that you are my disciples by the way that you love one another. And the only way that's going to happen is if you allow the fruit to be produced in your life. And it ain't easy. Ain't nobody, anything that Jesus said, this is not going to, this Christian walk is not easy, and it wasn't meant to be easy. This ain't the love boat. This is the battleship, okay? FYI. And you're going to have to battle to love. You're going to have to battle to have your peace. You're going to have to battle to have the joy in your life, the faithfulness, the goodness, the gentleness, and the self-control. You're going to have to battle for these things. Amen? But the underlining of everything that goes in this Christian walk is the first thing is love. Love. You have to learn to love each and every day of your life. Amen? Because listen to what he says here. Verse 13, this is it. That greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for a friend. Okay? When the much fruit. When the much fruit has been produced in your life, okay, then there's nothing that you won't lay down for your friends. There's nothing that you won't lay down for your children. There's nothing that you will not lay down for your family. There's nothing that you will not lay down for your wife, your husband, or those who are dear to you. But most of all, we need to lay down something for this world, for these people who don't know Christ. How are they going to know Jesus if they don't see evidence of the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the goodness, and the self-control in our lives? How are they going to know? Or how are they even going to want to know God if they don't see the evidence of this in our life? If they don't see it. Listen, some church folks are meaner than pit bull terriers. But they call us, I'm a Christian. But you're so snappy. Snapping at everything. Every situation. Snapping at people. As soon as something don't go your way, you're snippy, snappy. Everybody got an attitude. Mad at the wife. Mad at the kids. Kicking the dog. Everything. That should not be so. You understand? Not if... See, the whole thing of it is, if you don't yield to the Holy Spirit, this cannot happen. As powerful as God is, as powerful as that cross was, as powerful as the Spirit is. You realize the Bible says in Romans 8:11 that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that lives inside these mortal bodies? And if God could raise a dead man with no heartbeat and no pulse, what's wrong with us? Why can't we love? Because we have His Spirit. Why can't we have peace? Because we have His Spirit. Why? Because we will not yield to the whispers of the Holy Spirit. He's not going to scream at you. All right? You got to get yourself so quiet in here. Because here's where it's all at, right here. All that emotional thing. You don't know how I feel, and you don't know, yeah. David said, quiet my soul, O Lord. Why? So that I can hear the whispers of God. That God could whisper and I can hear His voice. See, that's relationship. That's intimacy. And that's what Jesus was saying. Because He knew Peter was going to deny Him. He knew that Thomas was going to doubt. He knew everything that was going on. But still, I need to teach you something. So after this is all over and you start doing what I've already showed you to do, that you will do it effectively. See, this only happens when we realize who we are connected to. That's the only way this happens, when we realize each and every day of my life that I can't go there, that I can't say that, that I can't do that. Why? Because who I'm connected to. Jesus modeled Christianity to the T. This is it. Follow me. Follow me. I'll show you exactly how it's done. All right? And Jesus didn't have this pristine life. They said He was born of fornication. You don't know who your father is. Who are you talking to us about? You know, but look at how He dealt with people. Look at how He dealt with the woman caught in adultery. Look at how He dealt with her. And it was a setup. It was set up for her. It was a setup for Him. But what did He say? Let the one, first one without sin cast the first rock. Do you realize Jesus had the right to pick up the rock and hit her right in the head? Why? Because he was the only one without sin. But he said, where are your accusers? And she said, I don't know, they're gone. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Go your way, but sin no more. You understand that? Go your way, but sin no more. Okay? Go your way. I remember I preached a sermon, accuse, pardon, but not excuse. All right? Jesus didn't excuse the sin in her life, but he had enough grace to free her, all right, for the rest of her life. Because you never heard nothing about that woman no more. Okay? You never heard in the book of Hebrews, the woman caught in adultery. Here she is again. No. Because those who have a true encounter with the living God, their lives are changed forever. 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 The woman at the well. Five husbands. And the one you're with now ain't yours. Jesus will read your email. Oh, yes, he will. He will read your email. But he has enough love and enough grace to free us from what has us bound. But it's only if we're willing to say, okay, God, this is my life. The stuff I've been masquerading for all these years, the stuff I've been masquerading for the last month, the last week, or even last night, here it is. Because I truly believe, because of that cross, that you're able to change my life. That you are able, when your blood runs down on me, that you're able to cleanse me, dear God, to the deepest core of my life. In all the nooks, in all the crannies, all the stuff that people don't know about me, even the stuff my mama don't know about me. God is willing. God is willing. But we have to be willing. God is willing. If you read the end of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 8, starts out with Jesus and them coming down the mountain, and they run into a leper. And the first thing out that guy's mouth is, Lord, if you be willing. Jesus said, I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm willing.